Hi, church. For those of you who are new to Good Shepherd, my name is Pastor PJ Moline. Can you all believe that this is the sixth week we've not been able to worship in person? Sixth week. We're told to stay home to stop the spread of COVID-19. Well, I'm in my home with my family. Come on, join me. These are my kids, Aiden and Addison. We know that many of you are worshiping in your home, maybe with your family and kids. Type us a comment, take a picture, send it to us, let us know that you're worshiping with us. Well, we all have been spending a lot of time at home lately. And in some ways, this is great, but in other ways, it's been a challenge, putting extra stress and strain on our relationships. Thankfully, there's good news for homes. The good news that we celebrated last week in Easter has the power to make a wonderful difference in our homes and in our relationships. We discover this as we pick back up our sermon series on Ephesians. Next week, we're going to be talking more about parenting. This week, we're talking about marriage. And even if you're not married, this passage is meaningful and applicable. It contains an illustration packed with good news for all of us. It's a little bit like this illustration. Have any of you seen these bears displayed in windows? Bear hunt is a fun game for kids during COVID-19 quarantine, whether they're out on a walk or driving in a car. But these bears are more than just a game. They're an illustration. Whenever you see a bear displayed in a window, it tells you that someone's been thinking about you, that someone cares about you. Well, God designed marriage to be an illustration like this. And whenever the world looks at us, it's an opportunity to display the greatest love story of all time, God's love story. With that in mind, let's listen to our reading from Ephesians 5.
Hello, friends. Today's scripture is from Ephesians 5, verses 18 through 33. In this passage, the apostle makes the analogy of two partners in marriage being as emotionally connected and supportive to each other as Christ is to his church. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their body just as Christ does for the church, for we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you must also love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must also respect her husband. Here ends the reading of God's holy word.
It's always interesting reading this scripture passage with couples preparing to get married. There's usually a strong reaction against the reading initially. At first, the language seems to degrade women, promote male dominance. Unfortunately, this very passage has been misunderstood and misused over the centuries by evil men seeking to do harm. That is not okay. But that is not the illustration we find in our scripture reading. I think a better example is a video that I saw of John Klein and his wife. After the COVID-19 outbreak, John was no longer allowed to be with his wife in her nursing home. So here's what he's been doing at her window every day. Take a look.
Yellow, black, and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world.
Isn't this a beautiful illustration? John and his wife display God's love in and through their marriage. Many people have been touched and drawn to God's love as a result. God designed marriage to be an illustration like this. And when people look at us, we have the opportunity to display the greatest love story of all time, the story of God's incredible love. Let's take a closer look at this illustration so that we can better receive and reflect the good news. I find it interesting that this masterful passage on marriage was written by a single man. Ephesians is a letter written by an early Christian leader named Paul to an early Christian church at Ephesus, modern-day Turkey. Some scholars believe that Paul was married at one point in his life, but his wife died and he became a widower. Whatever the circumstances, Paul was single at the time that he wrote this letter. Yet Paul saw something so profound in God's design for marriage that he wanted everyone to catch a glimpse of this beautiful illustration. No matter what your marital status, there's something in this passage for you. People in Paul's day needed good news for homes. Marriage had fallen on hard times. The Roman household codes allowed the male head of home to have complete dominance over women and children. As you might imagine, abuse ran rampant. So did divorce. New teachings from Jewish religious leaders allowed men to divorce their wives for virtually any reason, whether they put too much salt on their food or became less attractive. We need good news for homes in our day as well. Marriage again has fallen on hard times. The COVID-19 pandemic has affected more than health. It's negatively impacted marriages. News reports indicate that there have been a spike in divorce requests during the COVID-19 quarantine. As a chaplain for the police, I've also heard that there's been a spike in reports on domestic abuse. If you're in an abusive situation, I want you to know that that's not what God wants. Let somebody know so we can help you get out. We need good news for our homes. So Paul brings us back to God's design for marriage and shows us how it illustrates the greatest story of all time, the story of God's incredible love. In Ephesians 5:31, Paul quoted a verse from the very first book in the Bible where God first designed marriage. Jesus quoted this very same passage in Matthew 19:4-6 when he spoke on marriage. Paul writes, "A man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one." In the next verse, Paul explains, "This is a great mystery, but it is an illustration of the way Christ and the church are one." God designed marriage to be an illustration. When the world looks at us, we have an opportunity to display the greatest love story of all time, the story of God's incredible love. there are two sides to this illustration, just like there's two sides to the window pane, the husband and the wife. In Ephesians 5:21, it says, "Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ." The word submit means yield. Think about how you might yield to someone in a car on the road, or yield to another person in a line. You're thinking about them first. You're putting them before yourself. In God's design for marriage, both the husband and the wife are intended to yield to one another in unique ways that illustrate the love of God. In a moment, my wife is going to describe what this looks like for women. I'll start by describing what this looks like for men. For husbands, this means loving our wives like Jesus loved the church. Wow. Let's not set the bar high or anything, right? What a wonderful opportunity, though, to display the love of Jesus to our wives and to the world. Paul mentions three aspects to loving like Jesus. I like how Pastor Kent Hughes labels these three: sacrificial love, sanctifying love, and self-love. The first is sacrificial love. In verse 25, we're told to love our wives like Jesus, who gave up his life for the church. Jesus gave the ultimate sacrifice. He loved us so much that he was willing to give his life to save ours. Yet that wasn't the only act of sacrifice Jesus made on our behalf. He lived a life of daily sacrificial love. He gave up the splendors of heaven to be with us. He gave up his comforts to serve us. He gave up his wants to provide for our needs. Husbands are to display the same kind of sacrificial love to our wives. This may involve a big heroic act of sacrifice. More often, it's expressed in daily acts of sacrificial love, giving up other activities so we can prioritize time with our wife, giving of our energy to serve our wife and help around the house, giving our wives gifts that make them feel cherished. I think about the kind of sacrificial love John Klein displays as he shows up every day at the window of his wife's nursing home so he can lead her in song. Husbands, we can ask ourselves, is my love reminding my wife of Jesus' sacrificial love? The second aspect of loving like Jesus is sanctifying love. In verses 26 and 27, it talks about how Jesus washes us clean and presents us to God. Jesus helps bring us closer to God, help us become more like God in holiness. Jesus paid the punishment for our wrongs on the cross so that he could wash away anything that separates us from God. When we trust in Jesus as our Lord and Savior, he forgives us and he fills us with the power of his Spirit to change and grow and become more like God. Husbands are to display the same kind of sanctifying love to our wives. We're to help bring them closer to God, help them become more like God. Paul gives us some practical ways that we can do this. He mentions reading scripture, praying, singing worship songs. I think of the sanctifying love John Klein displays as he leads his wife in songs about Jesus. In my marriage, I download Bible reading plans that I can read with my wife. I ask her how I can pray for her and take time right in the moment to lift up those prayers. I make playlists of songs that can draw her heart closer to God. I talk with her about faith goals and how we can hold each other accountable. Husbands, we can ask ourselves, is my wife closer to God and more like God because of my love? The third aspect of loving like Jesus is self-love. In verse 29, Paul says to love our wives as we would care for our own body. Jesus modeled the golden rule: treat others the way that you want to be treated. Jesus went out of his way to care for the needs of his body, the church. In the same way, husbands are to display self-love to their wives. The golden rule in marriage is to love our spouse the way that we want to be loved. For example, I want a partner who's faithful, so I will be faithful. I want a partner who's honest, so I will be honest. I want a partner who honors me with her eyes, so I will honor her with my eyes. I want a partner who shows interest in me, so I will show interest in her. I want a partner who thinks of my needs, so I will think of her needs. I want a partner with whom I feel safe, so I will be her safe place. I think about the self-love John Klein displays as he treats his wife in the way that he or anyone would want to be treated if they were in a nursing home. Husbands, we can ask ourselves, am I loving my wife the way that I would want to be loved? In God's design, husbands are to illustrate the sanctifying, sacrificial self-love that Jesus displayed for all people. Now I want my wife to describe what this looks like for women.
Let's start by reading verse 22. For wives, this means submit to your husbands as to the Lord. Now I want to start off by saying that submission does not mean inferior. It doesn't mean that we are passive observers or that we're doormats. In fact, in another letter Paul wrote to the Galatians, he said that men and women are equal in Christ. And so women have value and gifts to offer. But this does mean that we yield to our husbands in a different way to illustrate God's love. And Jesus, of course, goes before us in all things. And so he even showed us submission to his heavenly Father when he was at the Garden of Gethsemane. He prayed, he said, not my will, but yours be done. Now, Jesus is trusting and following the heavenly Father's leading. And this is the same thing for us, that we are submitting as a way to trust and follow our husband's lead as they seek to be the spiritual leaders in our house. This is just like the video. I love that video with John Klein singing and his wife following his lead in worship. What a beautiful example. There are plenty of times in my life where I've needed to submit, and it's been hard. It's a growing edge for me. I'm a homeschool mom of 8 years, and 1 year I was feeling really overwhelmed, and so I went to my husband and just poured out my heart, seeking his guidance, and he's like, well, let me help you. Let me teach Bible for you. And I'm like, that's brilliant. You're a pastor. You should teach Bible. Here's my curriculum. And he didn't want my curriculum. And it was a bit of a time where the Holy Spirit had to work in me because I had a lot of control that I wanted to have over this. But I had to trust my husband and his leading as he sought to follow God. And it has turned out to be such a blessing watching him disciple our children. Now, submission, again, is a growing edge, just like my relationship with Jesus is. As I submit to my husband, I need to first remember that I'm submitting to Jesus. That's my first relationship. And as I let that relationship grow, as I seek after the Lord, if I let the Holy Spirit work in my life, refining my character, it's a lot easier to reflect Jesus to others, especially my spouse. And so the way we treat our spouse also reflects our relationship with Jesus. And so think about, how do you treat your spouse? Be honest. And what does that reflect about Jesus?
We acknowledge that all marriages are not perfect illustrations of God's love. Many of us come from broken homes or find ourselves in broken relationships. Our marriage hasn't been perfect. Here's a picture of our wedding in 2002. Okay, no comments or chatting about the hair. We look so happy. You never would have guessed that our first 6 months of marriage would be a disaster. We made poor choices. We caused terrible pain to one another. There was one point where I thought our marriage was broken beyond repair. Thankfully, there is good news for Holmes. The Savior who rose from the dead has the power to bring new beginnings and even resurrect dead marriages. It's only by God's grace that Julie and I are still together almost 18 years later. God's love literally saved us, healed us, and changed us both. We found that the only way we could truly submit to one another was to first submit to Jesus as our Lord and Savior. We found that the way to make it through difficult times in marriage is not to turn to alcohol or some other harmful habit like we heard about in our reading, but to fill our lives with God's Holy Spirit. My wife and I helped start a marriage ministry at Good Shepherd because we knew how hard marriage is and how much we need help from God and from others. The goal of this ministry is to help couples have fun together, grow together, and serve together. We're still active during COVID-19. We have a free ebook that we'd like to share with you from Marriage Today. It's titled Marriage Survival Guide for COVID-19. If you fill out a response card, I'll make sure you get one of those. We're also hosting a live virtual seminar. It'll be on May 5th, Cinco de Mayo. We're calling it Cinco de Marriage. It'll feature a well-known counselor from our area who'll be answering questions about how to thrive in our relationships during a pandemic and beyond. Let me know if you're interested in attending. I spent some time on Zoom with our marriage team this past week and asked them to share their testimonies of what God's been up to through this ministry. Here's what they had to say.
For us, I think our barrier was more of an emotional thing where even though we've been married 42 years, what can we possibly contribute? Are we a perfect example of marriage? How could we possibly be this great example and help other people in their marriage? And I think it's kind of a tough barrier, but I think the more we got into meeting all of these wonderful people and being transparent and honest, I think we really realized that, you know, we're all in the same boat. We're all trying to achieve the same things. And that kind of relieved that barrier to where we could just go in and be ourselves. And we've learned as much as anybody else, as far as helping other people, by just being ourselves.
Natalie and I were both in graduate school at the time and recently gotten married. And that also brought another dynamic where we were thinking, we're such a newly married couple, what could we contribute to the group? And really, it's turned out to be a blessing because we've not only been able to contribute, but we received so much more back from being part of the group.
And so I think that adding the ministry or having the marriage ministry at Good Shepherd and us being involved has truly built our relationship and made it stronger. We communicate more and have a better outcome in our communication. And so it's just really helped us get to be closer. And it's been a wonderful transformation along the way.
We took a marriage course to Honduras. So we did a mission trip. And part of that is we took the marriage course and taught that in a different language to the local Honduran families when we were down there, which, you know, at first was very intimidating, but we trusted there's everything going well, but we got a lot more out of it than we actually, I think, than we thought we would have for sure going down there. It helped us out tremendously in confidence and just the ability of sharing with other people and to see how much they got out of us trying to help them with that. So
is doing the studies together, doing the marriage groups together that we've had. They have been so impactful and life-changing, specifically like this last Bible study that we had did with everybody, the You and Me Forever, the Francis Chan study. I thought that was such a rich biblical perspective and just centering on as we draw closer to Christ that it naturally transforms us and then our marriage is transformed. So I just loved and appreciate all the perspectives that we've, all the wisdom that we've received from other couples, but from these studies, they've just been so rich and transformational.
And if you have that purpose, it helps with the focus. So if your purpose is to show God's love, it really helps you prioritize what's important and what you should be focused on, and focused on love and eternity, and not just those day-to-day, what seems so important at the time, but in the grand scheme of things is nothing. So for me, and I think for us, it's been really a helpful focus and purpose, and that's been transformational.
It is so encouraging to hear how God is transforming homes and relationships. Whether or not you're married, God wants each and every one of us to receive his love and to reflect that love to others. At the very beginning of Ephesians chapter 5, it says this: live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself for us. Ephesians 5:2. Take a moment and think about how can you fill your life with God's love this week and follow God's example of love? Is there something specific that you can do to display God's love in your home or beyond? You might click the COVID-19 box on our website and find out more about our community outreach efforts. Great ways to display God's love to a world that needs it so much. I pray that the world would see love illustrated through us. Like with the bears in the window, or John Klein in the window, but that they would see God's love through us and be drawn to ask about, to pursue, to receive God's love in their life. If you text GSC space sermon to 313131, you'll receive a link to fill out a confidential response card. I would love to pray with you and support you on the journey. Text GSC space sermon to 313131. Take some time now to reflect and respond, and Pastor Mark will lead us in a time of prayer and confession.